WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Lowering the tsunami threat in Hawaii, where Emergency Management Director Stephen Logan made the announcement that evacuation orders are being lifted.
Pacific Tsunami Warning Center has downgraded the forecast from a tsunami warning to a tsunami advisory. The PTWC continues to monitor for more data to update its forecast and for an all clear that they may issue later on.
Along Hawaii's coastlines and those on the West Coast are still being told to keep an eye out for high waves. The warnings were put in place following an 8.8 magnitude earthquake in the Pacific off the far eastern coast of Russia. A vigil held in New York last night for the four people killed when a gunman walked into a Park Avenue office building and began shooting. Thousands of fans are gathering in Birmingham, England, many in leather and heavy metal gear to pay respects to Ozzy Osbourne, whose coffin will be brought through the streets today ahead of his private funeral in his hometown. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The skies are quieter, but the excitement is still going on as attendance records for EAA Air Venture 2025 were updated this week. Over 704,000 visitors from 80 different countries visited the workshops, attractions, vendors, and air shows at Whitman Field and the EAA Museum. Initial numbers released Sunday said 691,000 people attended, but those numbers didn't include the attendance for Saturday and Sunday. EAA Communications Director Dick Napinski.
It's interesting to take a look and see why there's been so much growth. We have set a record attendance each of the past 4 years, and one has to think there are a variety of factors. The programming, we aim to do programming that would meet the expectations of those in individual areas, whether it's the warbirds, whether it's home built, vintage, those people who like military jets and so forth.
Napinski also thinks that the steady growth of the world's greatest aviation celebration can be credited to digital media.
We have been streaming a lot of our content the past few years, and instead of holding down the crowd and people watching it online, they see it and say, I have to witness this personally because it's bigger than I thought it was.
EAA Air Venture 2026 returns to Oshkosh next July. Someone who bought an all-or-nothing Wisconsin lottery ticket for the Friday, July 25th midday drawing at the Oshkosh Quick Pantry on Sawyer is $100,000 richer. Their ticket matched zero of 11 numbers. Whether a local or a visitor for EAA, that player has 180 days from Friday to claim their winnings. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
The Brewers go for the sweep. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs today in Milwaukee, where the Brewers beat them again last night, 9-3. Bottom of the sixth, one out. Andrew Vaughn picked up in that trade with the White Sox at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
First pitch, breaking ball. Hit high, hit deep, left center. Bye-bye baseball! The legend of Andrew Vaughn keeps growing.
Vaughn, with a career-high 6 runs batted in, says he's just feeding off the good vibe inside the Brewers clubhouse.
You know, special group here right now. We're playing really good baseball, and it's fun to be a part of, especially when the crowd's electric like that.
NFL, the Packers training camp continues in Green Bay. Another hot and humid session in pads. Running back Marshawn Lloyd sidelined again, this time a groin injury suffered in Monday's practice. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today. We could catch a shower or two here later this afternoon, and there will be more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high today, 76. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 74 on Friday, sunny with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 80.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us to talk about funding or not of Planned Parenthood. Hour number two, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on this Wednesday morning, July 30th. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. Coming up later this hour is our weekly homeroom segment where we talk about education in Wisconsin, some of its strengths, opportunities, but also the threats. And one of those is the way the state funding formula works for public education. It stinks, and it has for a long time, for 30-plus years now. There is a phenomenon happening in school districts called declining enrollment. And that makes sense from a demographic standpoint, but it's exacerbated by this voucher program that is sucking money away from our public schools, so that even when there is declining enrollment in a public school district, the loss of state aid is being done in a manner that could be called disproportionate. And the system is really failing school districts, like here in Chippewa Falls. And we'll talk to two folks, a school board member and a business manager, about that along the way. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we've got a weird little crossover episode for you where Jim Santel, the former U.S. attorney who's normally here on Fridays, will instead be part of our climate check this week with Melissa Baldoff, talking about all the different climate lawsuits that are going on in the U.S. and other countries in the world court, and how actions there, more so than, say, in Congress, might be our best hope to finally have some cleaner air around our planet. That's all coming up, but first let's get that forecast update from Brittany Merlot, where I was looking forward to, once this last bit of rain goes through, I was looking forward to, you know, something dry and comfortable, but I could see in the very early morning light this morning, looking upriver, I could right away see, oh, our friend the smoke is back. Canada continues to be on fire, and we're going to be noticing that today and tomorrow, Brittany.
Unfortunately, we sure are. It's already out there this morning. Haze across the state. Statewide, an air quality alert as that wildfire smoke is back. Got winds out of the northwest, so it's dragging it here for us, and that's going to stay the case throughout the day today. Now, we are looking at comfortable temperatures. Unfortunately, not the brightest, most beautiful day. We are going to see more clouds than sunshine, pretty much mostly cloudy to overcast statewide all day, with rain and some thunderstorms far south in the state. That's already happening right now. Temperatures in the 50s up north, low 70s south. We've got heavy rain right now into Janesville, Beaver Dam area, working its way towards the Milwaukee area, probably around 8 or so. And it's packing some heavy rain at times. We've already seen an inch, a little bit over an inch in Evansville and Beloit. And of course, we are looking at up to 2 inches possible, because this rain won't stop throughout the afternoon. It actually continues into this evening and doesn't wind down until late tonight. So we could see some flash flooding potential or some localized flooding where those storms just keep training over and over the same area again. So be careful down south today. Otherwise, less rain chances up north. You should stay mostly dry. Just some pesky clouds still in the way. Much more comfortable temperatures, though. Mid to upper 70s. And it's going to get a little breezy later on this afternoon and evening, too. So it'll feel refreshing at the very least.
Okay. Well, refreshing is good. I know that this stuff is supposed to stay to the south, and that's great. I'm still a little gun shy. I'm just far enough up north not to take the top down on the Wrangler yet.
Yeah, not today.
Because you never know when something spotty comes up. And I was looking at my Facebook memories, and it was 7 years ago when it was my first year with this Jeep. And it was that the anniversary of that date when we were out to dinner and we started to see rain. And there was no rain anywhere. There was no line coming at us or anything. And I pull up the radar on my phone really quick. And it's like, you know, one of those little dots just kind of pops up right overhead. And thinking, okay, it'll move. It'll move, right? It didn't move. The rain kept down. It came harder and harder and harder. And the little dot went from blue to green to yellow to red, like a really bad zit. And instead, it popped all over my Jeep Wrangler and filled it with 2 to 3 inches of rainwater.
And then you found out that Wranglers have plugs, drain plugs at the bottom, right?
Yeah. My friends were like, aren't you going to go do something about that? I'm like, what can I do? It's already raining like crazy. But the next day was hot and sunny. You pull those drain plugs out. You pull the floor mats out. And 24 hours later, it was good as new, by and large. But, you know, for that moment that is happening, you're thinking of all the places one little black rain cloud could show up and just dump on you. It was
that was your storm.
That was my
just
storm.
For you. Yes.
So I had been hoping to, you know, take the roof down, but no, not so much.
Not yet.
Let's see. I'm looking at Tom in Hartford on the text line. Brittany, make the smoke go away. Can't do that.
I'm trying. Job description. It's not working.
Lori from Hayward, can you please give a special shout out to Jack Krzyzewski, 101-year-old World War II vet, who was honored at the Brewers game yesterday, and thank him for his service? Done. Thank you for that. I do like that part of the Brewers game where they always thank somebody for their service. That's a very nice thing. Let's see. From Robin Tigerton. Good morning. Smoke in 65 degrees. I've got 3 yards to mow in the Tigerton area. Yesterday, he mowed 5 yards. Today would have been his mom and dad's wedding anniversary. Wild Thing was the number one song when they got married July 30th of 1966. Also says, thank you, Brittany, for keeping us updated on the tsunami in the Pacific from the earthquake in Russia on her social media last night. Central Wisconsin could have its first extended dry period since Mother's Day back in May. Many farmers will be cutting their third crop of hay, and for the first extended dry spell, many will be baling hay. As a kid, on warm, humid weather, it always meant baling hay. That's true. Sherry says she still gets a little itchy, scratchy on days like this, just thinking about being on the hay wagon and stacking all the bales. Doesn't really work like that anymore, by and large, on the farm. But Hans Breitenmoser told us yesterday, you know, he was going to attack that third crop of hay today. But it was a little, getting back to the other thing Rob mentioned, it was a little disturbing to wake up, look at the phone, and the first thing you see is, you know, tsunami warnings all along the West Coast and an 8.8 earthquake off the Russian coast. I mean,
yes, you know, that is so scary. I couldn't go to sleep last night. I saw this happening and I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, that is the 8th strongest ever recorded, tying for 6th with an 8.8 magnitude. That can cause waves. I mean, that could send a 500-mile-per-hour wave across the ocean, right? So that's why those tsunami warnings were going off. You could just see the videos on social media. It was chilling just hearing that. But thankfully, it didn't look too bad out there. I think it has 6 feet above normal in Hawaii and about 3.5 feet above normal waves in California at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And it's so different now, again, because of technology and other advances, that it's nothing like 2004. And, you know, a lot of us of a certain age, you know, those videos of the tsunami that killed more than 200,000 people around the world, you know, that is seared into our memories. And of course, what happened in Japan several years later. So I'm just hoping that because it wasn't, you know, terribly serious this time, that people don't get complacent in the future about these warnings. We've seen what it can do, but I fear that people will someday forget and just take these warnings for granted. You can't do that.
I fear that too. People do that with the tornado warnings, and it just breaks my heart. Take all of these serious.
Mm-hmm. They're there for a reason, and the reason's not to scare you, but to keep you alive. Brittany, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get back at 7:15 now to Pat and Parker celebrating the Milwaukee Brewers, because we're totally getting ahead of ourselves. We are already assuming there's going to be a sweep this afternoon. Now that we've jinxed it, let's tell you about the win yesterday, because it was so satisfying. I want to play that clip again from the Brewers Radio Network. Have you got that handy with Andrew Vaughn?
Oh, I've got it.
I can set that up properly, because, again, the Brewers were already ahead. They were leading the Cubs, but I don't have what inning Vaughn hit his home run in.
I believe it was the fifth inning. Sixth inning.
Yeah. Brewers were already up, but this was the exclamation on top of it. Andrew Vaughn, who already has 21 RBIs since being called up from the minors on July 7th, had six runs batted in yesterday. Four of them sounded like this.
Here's now Vaughn and a drive. Left center and deep. Vaughn and a hit! Who wrote this script?
The script of Andrew Vaughn hitting a grand slam and giving the Brewers a win over the Cubs 9-3. They are going to go for the sweep this afternoon at American Family Field against the Cubs. Coverage begins at 12:35 on Civic Media radio stations throughout the network. And let's see, that is now, 15 of the last 18 games when you include that 11-game winning streak?
That's ridiculous.
Best record in baseball right now at 63-43, a two-game lead over the Cubs in the National League Central. Hopefully Jackson Churio's right hamstring spasm is not a serious one.
64-43? That's what Google's telling me here.
Okay.
We're just two games up.
Associated Press is telling me, so you kids go fight it out later on. Quinn Priester started for the Brewers. He now has 10 wins on the season against only two losses. And again, they'll go for the sweep this afternoon with Freddie Peralta on the mound. And then the Brewers will be off tomorrow, heading to the nation's capital for a weekend series against the Nationals, then down to Atlanta early next week. And then they'll start a weekend series next week at home against the New York Mets. So a lot to get excited about over the coming days. You'll recall that last week when I did the show in Oshkosh, I had to spend the evening in Beaver Dam. It was the closest place where you could get a hotel that wasn't $500 a night. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had a very interesting piece yesterday about Beaver Dam. It's something that I did not see. I wish I would have taken more notice of as I was in town there, because you could definitely tell in Beaver Dam, like a lot of cities around Wisconsin, you can tell where some businesses used to be and where there's not activity anymore. And you wonder, where's the next thing going to come from? Is the next thing going to come from somewhere? And that is definitely going to be the case in Beaver Dam, where there is now going to be a big new data center going up. One that hasn't been officially announced, but is definitely on the way. Hundreds of workers in skilled trades are starting to put up the buildings. The farmland was sold at a premium price for a data center that's going to be working on artificial intelligence and cloud computing. And the article is just all about the fact that they are now hiring for the construction for the data center. It is a Waukesha-based company that chose Beaver Dam for the location of a 350,000 square foot Generac plant as well, in part because of a blue collar community of culture there. And so I was just very happy to see all of this good work happening around the Beaver Dam area. We're seeing as well data centers going up in Mount Pleasant and Kenosha and Port Washington. Now, all of this, as we have talked about in our climate check segments in the past, does come with some caveats. There is something about, all of the water that is going to be involved in cooling these data centers. That's a lot of computing power and could have, impact on wells in the area, and more that we don't know about yet. So I'm not telling you that these data centers are going to be a cure-all, but for the current next wave of jobs in Wisconsin communities, if done right, These are things that are positive aspects for some of our smaller communities around the state of Wisconsin, and it was just very nice to read about that. A local update is coming up next for some of you. Others will continue here and have our homeroom segment in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary.
May of 1969. I was near Doc To in Vietnam. Up until then, except for a few rockets and mortars, everything was pretty calm. But then things changed. We started getting ground assaults. Seemed like almost every night, many times they would probe the perimeter. Then they got inside. I don't know how many times, but they started bringing heavy stuff. 122 millimeter rockets. These things were 6 feet long and huge in diameter. All they did was prop them up on a tripod somewhere in the jungle and fire them like a giant bottle rocket. You'd hear the whoosh when it was fired, then thump, thump. If you're on guard duty in the main tower looking out into the jungle, you could see a puff of smoke. Then you'd see them coming in. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this complete story at WISS.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at thed8dispensary.com.
It's the greatest pop rock of the 60s and 70s. The Happy Together Tour 2025 with the Turtles, Jay and the Americans, Little Anthony, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, The Vogues, and the Cow Sills. August 10th at the Bank 5-9 Main Stage at Wisconsin State Fair. Get tickets now at WISTateFair.com. Wisconsin State Fair presented by U.S. Cellular.
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at focusonfreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
Hey Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton. Here is Lisa Hale with this morning's Valley Focus.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and joined today, because it's Wednesday, I've got Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Herald with me. If somebody wanted to pick up a copy of the Herald or wanted to check it out on the website, what is the website?
The website's oshkoshherald.com. And if you're looking for it out on a newsstand, we're at about 40 locations around town. You can find us at most Quick Trips, BPs, grocery stores, at their customer service counters. But you should be able to find us there. But I would say hurry up and go look quickly because they do go fast. It is online right now. So if you want to go check it out, oshkoshherald.com.
What's in the Oshkosh Herald this week?
There's so much good stuff in there. I'm just saying, not that I'm, you know, biased or anything.
Maybe
so,
a little bit.
I get accused of that. The first thing is their initial plans for a new home development coming. And we always talk about housing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're an Oshkosh developer is looking at building 91 new single family homes in the southeast corner of the city over by Clairville Road and 20th. This is Chet Wiesenberg from Wiesenberg Homes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the initial steps to it, right? But it would go in three phases, 30 homes per phase. The city and the builder are talking right now about who's going to pay for a gravel road that connects it to Clairville, and they'll get that all sorted out before they get to the next phase where it goes back before the plan commission. But this, again, it, you know, we've We have apartments coming in. We hear a lot of that, right? There's so many apartments.
We have a lot of apartments coming.
And they're getting built, which is fabulous as well, because it took a while for that. But now this is another development bringing 90 homes into the Oshkosh area, which will be part of Casey Meadows subdivision.
Okay.
So if you can picture where that is, just past YMCA out there off of 20th. So first steps first, but it's encouraging to see that, yes, a single family development is working and looking at being built out there. And I believe they're looking at 2026, which will when it goes, but it's 31 acres. And the average lot size will be 10,000 square feet. So it's similar to the homes that are already built out there.
Okay, that's good. Then it'll kind of stay with the neighborhood and stay with that feel.
Exactly. So that's exciting because... we need homes. Right. We need housing.
The housing shortage is something that's affecting every community throughout Northeast Wisconsin, not just Oshkosh, but
it's national.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. And I don't know I don't think anyone knows the answer to it. Otherwise we would have fixed it. Right. But there are projects out there that are looking at putting those homes that are needed in each community. I forget the number because there was a study that was done that's talked about how many units were going to be needed in Winnebago County in Oshkosh over the next several years.
Right.
And it was a big number.
Yeah.
So whether you're putting apartment complexes in there or building those single family homes, they're all needed. And, you know, there's this circle of life and circle of housing. And, you know, part of it right now is if there's nowhere to downsize to or anything like that, and the price of homes, there's not that cycle that's continuing. You know,
right.
You have people still living in too large of homes after they're empty nesters because they can't find something
right.
smaller to move into. Then you have young people who can't afford even an apartment because of the cost of those. So, you know, something needs to right how it should be. And, you know, I don't have the answer to that, but I think as long as there's housing in there, and it's, you know, it's supply and demand, right? So if we provide more housing, hopefully some of that starts settling out that market a bit as well.
Yeah. So what else is in the paper today?
So the other thing is, did you know that this Saturday is Oshkosh Gallery Walk?
I did not.
It is.
That's always
Oshkosh Gallery Walk
event.
Yes, it is. But this time, it's also the Night Gallery in the Algoma Art Alley that's over by Jambalaya,
mm-hmm.
one of my bonus daughter's favorite places. So in there, they are going to have a artist who has never presented her art before. She's never displayed it. There's a word for it. I'm totally drawing
a blank.
Exhibit.
Yes.
She has not exhibited her art. And Samantha Dukas is going to be that new artist. And she has been doing art for years, but has never exhibited. And Amy Brownfield from the Jambalaya and the Arts Association. This is her direct quote on this. Not only is she incredibly talented, but she is also completely unaware of how amazing her art is. So that in itself is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But she will be exhibited there. Oshkosh Gallery Walk will be going on from 6 to 9. So again, it's going to be a gorgeous, gorgeous weekend. So again, after the Children's Day Parade,
yes.
you can also do Gallery Walk. Got to catch myself there.
Yeah, still have to do the Children's Day Parade, though.
Absolutely. But Gallery Walk will be back. So there'll be several locations along Main Street and that you'll be able to pop into, see exhibits, you know, have a beverage, have dinner, but absolutely hit out the Algoma Alley Art Alley and check out this brand new in air quotes because she's been doing art for a while, but exhibitor. So,
absolutely. So where can people go to pick up the Oshkosh Herald or to view it online?
So online, we're at oshkoshherald.com. And there's about 40 different pickup places around Oshkosh. But the quickest way to put them is check out your quick trip, BP's, and the grocery stores.
Excellent. Erin, thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Be sure to download the Civic Media app and select WISS for news and information updates for the Fox Valley right to your phone. You're listening to Valley Focus and Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WISS Oshkosh and Appleton. .3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Countries, like any other consumer, are just looking for the best deal. I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, talking markets. John Heinberg along with us. He's the market advisor for Total Farm Marketing. He has some insights on how international demand is affecting the U.S. market.
It just comes down to the demand side of things and seeing that the other countries are step into, you know, the corn market. We saw that last year with corn. You know, China did not pick up any U.S. corn during the entire export season. If it was, it was very minimal. You know, but we saw other countries just kind of step forward, and European countries, Japan kicked back in. Mexico obviously was the largest buyer of U.S. corn over the last year. And as we're starting to get some 25, 26 sales put together, we're starting to see that those same trends continue. We've seen some pretty good activity in the corn market for new crop corn, or corn being harvested this fall. On the export market, it's mainly been Mexico. South Korea has been an active buyer here the last week or so.
John Heinberg along with us. He's the market advisor for Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says right now the U.S. is competitive in price.
Stay with us. I'll have a look at some more news after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com. Wisconsin's forestry industry is crucial for the state's economic success. Governor Tony Evers sent a letter to the Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins in the Trump administration. That letter urges immediate action to reverse cuts to investments and staff at USDA. The governor says Wisconsin's forestry industry stands to be negatively impacted. Evers strongly opposed reported reductions in the United States Forest Service programs. The letter comes after Wisconsin officials were recently warned by USFS officials to expect less funding from the Urban and Community Forestry Grant Program. For the full story and more stories like it, visit us online at MidwestFarmReport.com. And while you're there, sign up for our e-newsletter. That'll be delivered to your inbox every morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy today. We could catch a shower or two here later this afternoon, and there will be more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high today, 76. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 74 on Friday, sunny with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
Let's go, Brewers.
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday.
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison Mustard Museum curator Barry Levinson. Then Appleton's Kim Mothy joins to talk Mile of Music. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Coming up later today on the Civic Media Radio Network, the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6. Coming up today in the 4 o'clock hour, Morris Pearl will discuss the wealthy who don't want a tax break, part of an op-ed in the Washington Post recently. And also in the 4 o'clock hour, Lisa White, a candidate in the 17th State Senate District, where there may be a number of Democrats looking to run against Howard Markline, the State Senate co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. That all coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show later this afternoon across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's take some time right now in our homeroom segment to talk a bit about declining enrollment, state aid, and school referendums. And regular listeners understand how this carousel works. And so rather than listening to me blather on about it, we wanted to bring in an expert, a business manager from one of the school districts where declining enrollment is an issue, and explain how the current state funding system either helps or hurts school districts that are hit with declining enrollment, which again is happening for a couple of different reasons. It's not just demographics. It's not just, you know, a generational drop in birth rates. It's also the growth of the voucher program, peeling away kids who whose parents are sending them to private, usually religious schools, and now getting taxpayer-funded assistance, subsidies, to do so. It only makes the declining enrollment problem worse for districts like Chippewa Falls, where Chad Trowbridge is the business manager and joins us this morning. Chad, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Pat. Good morning to you, and thanks for having me today.
Well, we appreciate it. We really respect the job that you do, and we know what a challenge that it is. So let's just start overall with the matter of declining enrollment. I mean, there are only so many school districts that actually are growing population. We don't have that baby boom going on anymore. So we know that declining enrollment is, you know, kind of a regular way of life in so many of our Wisconsin school districts. But do we have a system in place right now so that business managers like you can look at these numbers and say, well, enrollment's declining, but, you know, it, not in a way that's going to cause us to have to make some dire financial choices?
Well, yes, it is definitely a problem statewide, not just for Chippewa Falls. I should point out, you know, I think we were an anomaly over the past 20 or 30 years, while many school districts, you know, certainly in northern Wisconsin and even in the Chippewa Valley were declining in enrollment, we were on a growth pattern. So it was a little unique here in Chippewa Falls. We kind of stood out as a place that was growing. And I think, you know, primarily it's the demographic shift that probably has caught us the most. I think we were going to start to experience a decline at the start of the pandemic. That was kind of the first indicator for us that, you know, our lower birth rates entering our kindergarten grades were starting to get smaller. But I do think that the pandemic probably exacerbated that problem just a little bit. It helped or encouraged people to pursue other educational options, you know, be it virtual, be it homeschool. A lot of school age kids went to work during that time. Learning virtually was something that what we found out wasn't the best for the majority of our population. So if, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons for declining enrollment. Certainly the first, you mentioned the demographic shift. Part of it's not scientific. People just don't have as many kids as they used to. And when I say that, a lot of people nod their head. Yep. A lot of people we know either don't have kids or have one kid or two kids. You know, having three kids was a fairly normal sized family a good number of years ago, but you just don't see families that large anymore. Secondly, I think we have an affordable housing problem in our community. And when I say that, I don't mean low-income housing. I mean just the affordability of living, whether it be rental property or purchasing a home. You know, the median home price is higher than two income earners with good jobs can't afford. That's not going to encourage families to come to our community. Another piece that, you know, we often wonder about is jobs. We're a big employer for the size of the city of Chippewa Falls. There are a lot of jobs in our community, but are they jobs that cause people to move here? We believe that a good portion of our jobs here are commuter jobs, meaning people who live in the periphery of Chippewa Falls drive here to come to work. And then also, you know, much like many communities, there's a shortage of daycare spaces available. We're pretty blessed in Chippewa Falls to have very high quality daycares. There just aren't enough of them. And if we have commuters coming to Chippewa Falls for employment, perhaps bringing their kids to daycare, it just makes that lack of daycare space all the much worse. And like you mentioned, there are other educational options, which is probably a good thing for parents and students to have choices in education. But ultimately, you know, those factors all contribute to kind of the statewide decline in enrollment. And we're actually going to see a demographic shift in our total population. And Chippewa Falls, the largest portion of our population is an older generation, which at some point in time, you know, will turn over. I hate to say it that way, but as when that occurs, you know, we're curious about what's going to happen with real estate and homes, and you know, what's going to turn into those properties? Are they going to become rentals? Are they going to become family homes? Or are they going to turn into something else?
Yeah, these are all valid questions when you talk about you know, commuter employment. Another one of them is virtual. We've seen some small communities essentially reinvent themselves by saying, hey, we're the place where you can live, and we've put in broadband internet so that you can continue to, you know, work from up north in your office in Chicago, you know, or New York, or wherever the case may be. Chippewa Falls has also seen, of course, like other communities, you know, jobs come and go, whether it's, you know, Cray Supercomputers or Mason Shoe back in the day, you know, just a big shift in technology versus manufacturing and high tech manufacturing. I spoke earlier this hour about Beaver Dam and how its fortunes are being turned around by a data center that's going in, and that might be the linchpin for new enrollment. But again, every school district is facing its challenges with declining enrollment at some point in time, for all the reasons that you outlined. And so here's where we get into the notion of how does state aid help or hurt in that situation. So the two examples I always use are classrooms and school buses. You might go from a classroom of 25 kids to 22 kids. You might have a school bus that goes from, you know, carrying 40 kids to 35 kids. You still got to turn on the lights. You still got to put gas in the bus because it's going to take pretty much the same route, just skip a few houses. And yet with declining enrollment, how is it that you lose state aid? Is it a one-for-one thing, or is there a way that can be augmented without having to go to the property taxpayer?
I'll touch on that, and I'm going to shift gears for just a second. So state aid is really a factor of the expenses the district makes per property value per student. So if we have a high student population and a high property value, that kind of works out pretty well economically. But if we have a low student population and a high property value, and you think about some of our more northern region school districts, at least that's the best example here we have locally, you know, they have a very low student population but a very high property value. The state aid formula doesn't really benefit them at all. But it really comes back to the revenue limit. Revenue limits were put in place for Wisconsin schools back in 1994. And it was really a kind of a three-pronged approach to ultimately controlling property taxes at the time. And they called it the three-legged stool. It was based on the premise of a revenue limit, the qualified economic offer, and two-thirds funding of education at the state level. Well, the qualified economic offer went away with Act 10 in around 2011, 2012. And then the two-thirds funding commitment for state aid has also gone away. So the only prong that's left is revenue limits. And ultimately, what for a lot of schools that were not in declining enrollment, the revenue limit just hadn't kept pace with inflation. And for us, during the time of the pandemic, there was a lot of federal money that was thrown at education. And the intent of that money was to bolster education. Well, here in Wisconsin, there weren't revenue limit increases. And it was the message was loud and clear, use your federal dollars to plug your budget hole. We were all saying, hey, okay, well, that can work. We understand that. But we have to have a way to backfill that federal revenue when it goes away. And in the last biennial budget, I think our state did as good as they can. They did increase the revenue limit, but it was only about half of what was lost from the exit of federal funding. So we were saying that in this 25-27 biennial budget, our state is going to have to double down because school districts were still short of revenue. They didn't get inflationary increases during that time. And it was at a time when we've seen some of the highest inflation rates in the past decade. So that kind of has compounded over time. And if you recall, Governor Evers used his veto pen to give school districts a $325 per pupil increase for, at the time, it was 400 years. Well, there's 398 years remaining in that. So we are going to get a $325 per pupil increase. That's great, but it doesn't backfill any of that revenue. And when we talk about this $325 per pupil, it's a good increase. It's less than 3%. So it sounds like a lot of money, but it's really not. It's really just, you know, plus or minus inflation here or there. And I always say before Act 10, when revenue limits were indexed to inflation, we were seeing consumer price index and the revenue limit at $271 per pupil. So 271 13 years ago versus 325 today really doesn't make up a gap anywhere. So in the revenue limit, that's made up of two factors. It's state aid and property taxes. So if there's an increase in the revenue limit, it should technically be split between state aid and property tax. The legislature did not put any money into the state aid formula. So when we look at this year's revenue limit, it's going to increase taxation at a time where state aid is not going to go up. So it's going to create a local burden here. And really for any school district in the state of Wisconsin, there will be some aid distribution based on each individual school district statistics. But for us, we're very close to average, so we would expect it to be fairly neutral. So when we went, Chippewa Falls School District went to an operational referendum in 2024, and we did that for 3 years. We had some declining enrollment issues, some exit of federal funding issues that were creating a deficit for us. We did a three-year operational referendum, $2.5 million a year for 3 years, because we wanted to get through this biennial budget process to determine if revenue was backfilled, there would lessen the need for an operational referendum. But if it was not sufficient, we would have to go back to an additional operational referendum at some point in time. So,
and I definitely see that's in the cards for many school districts when you put zero new dollars into it. It's a great explanation of the situation. Chad Trowbridge, the business manager for the Chippewa Falls Area Unified School District, thank you very much for the background on it, Chad. I know what a challenging time this is, but thanks for taking a little time to offer up some explanation and background for our listeners.
Thanks for having me, Pat. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day. Local update is next for some of you. Others, we'll talk to Jimmy Cuska about some of the stories that he is following. And as a school board member himself, may have a few things to say about, coming up from our homeroom segment. And in our next hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram. We'll be getting an update from James Kelly from Civic Media about headlines he's covering around Northwest Wisconsin. So much still ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Dave Rucker with Bank First. Is now a good time to buy a home? The truth is,
The right time to buy a home is when you're ready. Focus on your personal financial goals, not the headlines. At Bank First, our experienced team is ready to guide you through every step of the journey. Let's discuss how to make home ownership a reality on your timeline. Check us out at bankfirst.com. Bank First, your partner in home ownership. NMLS 13930. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This update sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Delta Dental is proud to sponsor Family Sundays at Health Fair Field. Play catch on the field on Sundays from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. prior to Brewers' regular season home games. Admission is free. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton. Here is Lisa Hale with this morning's Valley Focus.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and joined today, I've got Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Noon Kiwanis with me. Let's talk a little bit about the Children's Parade. I know you're involved in it, and it's going to be huge in Oshkosh this Saturday.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. I hope so. We've been working on this for months with the Oshkosh Noon Kiwanis. So the Children's Parade stopped in 2013, and we're bringing it back with our service organization. And it starts at 11 o'clock this Saturday. So kids are registering. They're bringing their non-motorized, no motorized vehicles are in this parade, the non-motorized floats. And it's really cool to listen to people about when they were in it, because it ran for 83, 84 years or something like that. So like three generations. So you hear these people talking about it. And I just, I had our final planning meeting at Kiwanis yesterday. And one of the members was talking about someone who had been in it and had dressed up as Kiss. And I understand that their kids may be pulling that second, that a repeat on that for the parade and coming as dressed as Kiss members. So, you know, it's very cool. And so it's going to go from Whitman Field down Ohio Street to South Park. So it's a different parade year. So different route, times have changed and so forth. So it's going down Ohio Street, starts at 11 o'clock. Please come and line the streets if your kids aren't in it or your grandkids. Come and just, if you remember what it was used to be, come and cheer them on. Right now, I think we're around 40-ish or so on entrees. Oh my gosh. entries to and registrations to be in the parade, and they go from, you know, one to two and five plus. I think we've got twirlers and everything coming to be in the parade. So I'm really looking forward to it because that's not in my purview. Someone else is handling the registrations. So I'm just getting bits and pieces about what the entries are going to be. So I'm really looking excited to see the imagination and creativity that people put into this. But you can just come down on your bicycle with those little cards flipped to it and, you know, come in and join the fun. Just register. And then once you get to South Park, it's a family day.
Right.
So we have a lot of events going on there as well. All of the kids in the parade will get a goodie bag when they enter South Park. We have a little mongoose bike that kids who participate, who want to sign up to win it, can put in as well. We're going to have a petting zoo that's going to be there. We have lots of organizations that are coming with kids activities and everything. Have live music with the Mason Street Band.
Nice.
And then the pavilion will be open with cold beverages and food trucks. So we have food trucks there, everything from barbecue to snow cones, folks. So I really hope that you come down and visit with us from 11 to 3 on Saturday for the Children's Day Parade. And we know there's always so much stuff going on.
Yeah, there is.
And whether you come for the parade, which will be from, let's say, 10 to 11, or come down for the events that are going on at the park, or all of it, we welcome you. And we really look forward to seeing the community come out and enjoy bringing back the Children's Day Parade.
You hear a lot of people say things like, there needs to be more stuff for children, you know, what can I do for children? And this is one of those examples of the things that are specifically designed for the kiddos in the area.
Just for the kiddos, absolutely. And I remember watching this too. I never participated, but I have friends who are in their 70s that did, you know, so which is kind of funny, but and they have great memories. But it's about bringing the kids out, letting them be creative, having a day to say, look at me, you know, because everyone gets to participate, and then go to the park and really have some fun. You know, we have Homies Hub coming, and they have a lot of stuff that is going to be set up. The police are coming out at 1 o'clock with their trailer. So there's going to be a lot of things for people to enjoy. Bring your lawn chairs, sit out in the lawn and listen to Mason Street Band because they'll be playing. But it ends at 3 o'clock. So you can come enjoy it. It's going to, the weather, thank you, is going to be absolutely gorgeous.
It is.
So come out, spend the day with the kiddos and stuff at South Park. Take them home, give them a nap or so, and then take them to the fair at night. So
perfect idea. You know? Yeah, because the fair kicks off Thursday,
yes,
tomorrow. So that's perfect. Do the children's parade, then do the fair. Full weekend.
You know, because we are in Oshkosh, right?
And exactly.
We have 12 weekends to cram a whole year's worth of entertainment in. But I'm really looking forward to this. My group has been working on this for months. And I think we've pulled all the missing strings into that one little handful, and we got this down, and I'm looking forward to seeing the efforts pay off and enjoying seeing the community come out and join us.
Now, the children's parade has it took a hiatus for a
Correct.
Little while. So do you go ahead and you call it the 87th children's parade without the annual after it? Or how are you going to do that?
You know, that's kind of funny. I was wondering about that on the way over because we haven't called it anything except the Children's Day Parade at this point. We'll have to figure that out next year.
Definitely.
Next year. And next year, you know, it's like August 1st. So it'll be the first Saturday after EAA because we're at the Whitman Airport. Mm-hmm. So we can't go there during EAA, obviously.
Right.
And I just asked at the Parks Department when I picked up the keys, like, can I reserve this yet? 365 days. Okay, so I got it. I know to go online right away and reserve it for next year because we are hoping that this is a signature event for the Oshkosh Noon Kiwanis, and it's a fundraiser as well. So we'll be using it to support our programs with the Key Clubs and the Cops and Kids and Cops and Kiwanis and Kids, which are literacy programs where we provide hundreds and hundreds of books throughout the year to the police to hand out. but we also provide gift cards to the police that they can give out to people in need as well. So part of this will be funding that program, and part of it will also fund the newspapers and education through the Oshkosh Herald and our Kids Scoop program too. So although it's a great community event, it's also going to do great things as we support our community with the different programs that we have in place.
I'm so excited that it's back, and I'm so excited about this. And thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I appreciate it.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The major tsunami threat has passed for the West Coast and Hawaii following a massive earthquake off the coast of Russia. ABC's Alex Stone with more from Los Angeles.
At this point, after an all-night rush to get large populations away from potential tsunami waves, there is no known damage in the U.S., and there was no one large wave. There have been some small recorded tsunami waves picked up on sensors, some bigger ones as well, but not a large wave like you'd think of. The question will be, as the sun comes up, assessing any damage, especially in far northern California's Crescent City, which because of geography, it's always prone to tsunami damage. Right now, though, there is no known damage in the U.S.
Two notes left behind, police say, by the gunman who opened fire in a New York City office building. One of the notes appeared to blame the NFL for a brain injury. The other was an apology to his parents. Crowds lining the streets of Birmingham, England, for the funeral procession today of Ozzy Osbourne's casket through his hometown. This is ABC News.